Hey, this is Jen Johans at FilmIntuition.com and Film Intuition on social media and Letterboxd. And this is Watch with Jen.
Well, I am thrilled. We had so much fun last year talking about Jean-Claude Van Damme and martial arts movies. And you can't really talk about martial arts movies without my good friend, Priscilla Page, who is a wonderful writer. You know and love her essays at her Patreon. She just wrote a new one on 28 years later, and there's so much amazing writing on her Patreon. Do support her because she's great. And my other guest was a wonderful addition to our Jean-Claude Van Damme discussion last year, and this was his idea, and it's brilliant. This is my, of course, gifted friend, Jordan Harper, who is just an incredible novelist, one of the great crime writers working today. You know and love his work with She Rides Shotgun, Everybody Knows, and I Don't Know What You're Doing. If you haven't pre-ordered, get on the phone and pre-order the upcoming A Violent Masterpiece, which is coming out in April of next year, and it's amazing. So how are you guys? Thanks for being here.
It is a pleasure.
Yeah.
No. To talk Jackie with you guys. Sorry.
No. I'm sorry. I cut you off there. I feel the same. This was really fun to prep, and I even watched chunks of other movies that we're not talking about to prep, because it's just fun to watch Jackie Chan.
How can you not, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys remember your first introduction to Chan or how you got into him?
Yeah, I remember as a young person, a teenager, before Rumble in the Bronx came out, seeing that documentary about him that was kind of passed around in videotape culture. My older brother was a tape trader back in the 80s who collected obscure videotapes, and why he didn't ever get any of the Jackie Chan movies. There was a documentary that was kind of created for English language audiences to just be like, can you believe this wacky guy who does all his own stunts? But it was just incredible. And it was kind of this cult classic back in the day. I grew up in the Ozarks, where even our independent video stores didn't have things like Hong Kong films or anything that. So it was just this thing you heard about, and you got to watch this one, I believe it's only an hour long documentary. And you just, it's a collection of his best stunts and some of the kung fu he did. And so you just were kind of aware that there was this guy over there doing these insane things. And then it wasn't until Rumble in the Bronx came out, which I believe was the first one of his movies to get any kind of distribution seriously in the United States. It was certainly the first one I saw. And I just remember seeing it and being blown away in a way that I watch Rumble in the Bronx now. It's definitely mid-tier, but
but when you're starting out,
but it's, again, a bad Jackie Chan movie is a Jackie Chan
better than
Chan
everything
movie.
Else.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it. How about you, Priscilla?
I don't know how people remember these things. I'm sure it must have been Rush Hour.
Okay. Oh,
given the era and how long it took for me to accept that I love action movies.
That's true. Yeah, you kind of went through some denial there. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm retreading an old story here, but
that's okay.
Maybe people haven't heard me say this, but anyway, in my mid-20s that I had a 24-hour experience of watching Lethal Weapon and Die Hard for the first time.
Oh my God.
And then, back when Netflix still had movies, real DVDs, physical, tangible ones, you could see, you could track all the movies you'd gotten from DVD, all the DVD Netflix
from
stuff.
From my old work, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. sorry to bring up.
I love DVD
it's
Netflix.
Sad that it's,
it was amazing, yeah.
I know, I just mean that it's sad that it's over. Yes. But anyway, you could see this shift in me trying to get into really cerebral movies to all of a sudden it's Stallone. So it took me a while to get around to Jackie, but Rush Hour was probably the first. And then I think it took me a little while to get around to this other stuff. And I think I'm sure after that, it must've been the Police Story movies.
Yes. I actually think that might've been my first, because Jordan, a little bit in middle school, but mostly high school, kids passing around videotapes from, We had a large Asian population where I grew up, and so we had some people who had really good access. Sometimes the movies were in Cantonese with no subtitles. Sometimes half of them were cut off, or, you know, these were really bootleg. I remember seeing all of the big John Woo movies, so that was like my first exposure. And I think for Jackie, it was probably Police Story. But it's interesting you brought up Stallone, because when I was doing some reading today, I actually, I'd never heard this, that Stallone offered him Demolition Man to play the Wesley Snipes part, and he said no because he didn't want to be a villain. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. I think Stallone was like the one action guy in America who's like really aware of Jackie. And I think,
yeah.
I can't remember. I think there's at least one movie where he sort of rips off some Jackie stuff.
Oh,
I can't
I'm sure.
Which one
Yeah.
it is, but yeah, Stallone loves Jackie, or loved him. I don't know.
I mean, I guess it's Cannonball Run 2 that he is in, right? That Jackie.
He's in, yes. I think he's in both of them. He's in the first one.
Yeah, because that actually gave him the idea for those outtakes in the credits.
Yeah, he stole the bloopers from Hal Needham.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I don't even know if I put that together, because I know I saw those movies when I was very young. But,
exactly.
You know, I don't even think when I watched that documentary, I realized that I had seen him in.
Oh yeah,
movies.
So that was probably my first too.
It was probably my first, but I don't think
yeah.
it counts. It's kind of like if you'd just seen the Green Hornet TV show and then had no idea that that was Bruce Lee. It was just sort of like he was there, but he did not. I mean, he was great, but like
it leave a
didn't
mark.
Sink in. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He kicks Peter Fonda in the face in the first one, which is pretty cool. And like, I don't know. It's I feel like I've seen like worse Bruce Lee treatments in American movies, but like Jackie, it's a weird representation in that movie where he's kind, it's like kind of racist, but then like I feel like Hal Needham understands that what he can do and lets him do it. But yeah, like he's like a Japanese racer for some reason instead of just being what he is. Yeah, it's very strange.
That's interesting.
But Jordan looks very confused.
No. I was just like, the idea of casting him as Japanese, again, that's just such a like old, like,
Who cares
soft
which
racist
one?
kind
Yeah,
of
yeah, yeah.
Like thing.
Exactly.
I mean, I got, you know, there's discussion now, not to drag it into these kind of waters of like, you know, opening up the idea of allowing Asian people to play any other kind of Asian ethnicity, and that the strict segregation of actors is actually does more harm than good. I know that there's a lot of Asian actors who've been putting that argument forward. I'm not sure that's what was at work back then, but yeah, that was my moment of woke. So you guys are welcome.
Oh, you're fine. Yeah. And of course, I mean, he was in, because of Sammo Hung, two of the Bruce Lee movies, starting out. But one thing I didn't know, and I'm sure this is old hat to you, Priscilla, you probably are very aware that he wanted his persona to be like the polar opposite of Bruce Lee, which I found was interesting. His style, the personality, the humor. Yeah.
But there was like a real push to make him the next Bruce Lee, like that big Bruce Ploitation era. They really were trying hard to just kind of have him keep doing Bruce Lee impersonations, basically. And nobody liked it. Like, it did not hit. It wasn't until, I think his like first real comedy kung fu movie is Snake in the Eagle's Shadow, which was actually a contender. Like, it was one of the things I was thinking about just because I wanted to pick something that sort of rounded out our selection, but it's good, but it's not like Dragon's Forever good. But
yes,
it is. But Sammo Hung did beat him to it. Like, I think he made a comedy kung fu movie like the year prior.
Yeah.
So he was sort of the trendsetter, but I don't know, Jackie ended up, I don't know if he perfected it, but he definitely became more popular doing it.
That's true. I mean, for sure. And what was funny is he was being compared to like Buster Keaton and Chaplin before he'd even seen the movies. And then he got into them after, which is great. I mean, that happens a lot, I think, with writers, like someone, oh, you're like Faulkner. And then you read Faulkner.
Who's that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And just like Jordan, I do remember seeing Rumble in the Bronx would have been my first one on the big screen. I remember going with my brother and we were just like, who is this superhuman man? Yes, absolutely. And I think we got some great ones here. We have Drunken Master 2, Dragons Forever, and Super Cop. And his career spans so many decades. There's style differences. Of course, there's the American stuff. And, you know, he's still working. And he also has a hell of a music career. I mean, over 20 albums, operatically trained singer. You can hear him singing some of the theme songs for his movies. Yeah.
We can talk about this more later because it will come up. But the number of like, great Chinese actors from like particularly that era that turn out to be massive pop stars.
Yes. Yeah.
And you look at their Wikipedia page and you realize they have much larger fan bases in that world and are considered like pop stars who occasionally appeared in movies.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Like large. Anita Moy to yeah. me is
oh
like,
oh my gosh.
Is
yes.
like, oh, I love her in all those martial arts movies. Like the heroic trio is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh yeah, she's like, even bigger as a pop star, but I just never think of her like that.
I found a really great version of her covering Sheena Easton's Strut, which is a great song.
Yeah.
And yeah, because apparently she is the Madonna of Asia, has the best-selling album in the history of Hong Kong.
That's amazing.
Shit.
Yeah. And
look like, at you, Anita. Wow.
Yeah. No, I'm going to talk a lot about her later, so we don't have to do this right now.
No, that's so great. And Priscilla, I know you were kind of the holdout on which movie because you had a lot of deliberations here. What is it, though,
it's
before
so
we get
stressful.
In about your love of Jackie? Is he your favorite, one of your favorite film stars ever? Do you have...
Probably. I can't think of many people who move the way he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just so fluid. The only people who really rival him are like the kids who grew up alongside him at the Peking Opera School, which is like a whole other
yes.
thing we can get into because it was like a child abuse situation.
Yeah.
They had this sort of Dickensian upbringing, but they were all trained in like so many different. They could sing, they could dance, they could do martial arts, like
acrobatics.
All this shit was hammered into them when they were basically babies.
Yes.
So like Sammo is such moves so beautifully. Like I think in terms of more modern action stars, there just aren't that many dudes I can point to or women that I can point to and be like, that person moves like Jackie. Like maybe Mark Dacascos. Like he I don't know how much you guys know about him, but he moves so beautifully that it's like almost he's not funny like Jackie. He can be. He was funny in which John Wick is he in? 3? Yeah, I think he's Zero in John Wick Chapter 3.
Okay.
So he gets to be funny in that movie, but for the most part he's not really always that funny. But yeah, there's just like nobody really like Jackie. Like even when you make comparisons to like Buster Keaton or Tom Cruise, it's like not quite the same.
Yeah, it is his own thing for sure. What do you think it is about him, Jordan, that like has had staying power all these decades?
I mean, I do think it is partially that you know when you're seeing an artist at work.
Yeah.
And not to besmirch anybody else, but like there are those people. I mean, Bruce Lee is another one who it's not just that you're watching them do cool punches or kicks. Look, we all talked about Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
We all don't have to say it, but we love Jean-Claude Van Damme. I would not say that the movement that he does evokes that.
No.
You know, a lot of these guys, Jason Statham, who is an action star who I love, is like,
I love him. Yeah.
There's like a brutality to it, but it's not, it's this like liquid grace, but there's also just the pure inventiveness of it. It's you know, the props.
Oh my gosh, he uses everything, which I find so marvelous. Yes.
Yeah, and to weave that into comedy is great.
Yeah.
And the way that the grace of him and the comedy of him feel identical to each other. I will confess that like comedy crime is like one of my least favorite genres. I sometimes don't like things, those particular chocolate peanut butter crossovers.
Yeah.
But Jackie Chan movies are like fundamentally joyous. Again, like I'll talk more about that when we talk about Drunken Master 2, but like, you know, seeing one of these movies in a theater today is the only other movie I can think of that can really get that is RRR. Like the feeling I have in the theater for RRR. And I think that there's just, I mean, some artists are special, and he radiates that when he's being funny, when he is when he's moving, when he is creating things, that the way that he does something akin to parkour comes from that exact same place of watching him jump over a wall. You know, there'll just be something where he'll, you know, kick off one wall and then get his foot right there, and then he's over a wall, and it's just this beautiful movement that he had to invent for that wall. You know, it's not like a technique. It is responding to the environment. And I think there's something to that. And then I think the other obvious thing is the those end credits and letting you see how much
work
of this.
Yeah.
Work and fun.
And pain. Fun.
But also the danger. I think that, you know, I'm a long time advocate for practical effects, and like, there are some things that, you know, if we went back in time, we probably would need to stop Jackie from doing.
Yeah. He's even said that if he went back in time, there's a lot of things he wouldn't do now. Which is interesting. But when I was listening to you both, I was also thinking, his persona, and just, he kind of reminds me of Singing in the Rain is one of my favorite movies ever. And as much as I love watching Gene Kelly in that, there, the scene that just steals everything is Donald O'Connor's Make Him Laugh, because he just slides into everything. He throws himself against a wall. He's like breaking his neck for you to entertain you. And I feel like Jackie does that, but he's not mugging. I think that's also a thing. He is just, he has humor. He has a little mischief, a little twinkle in his eye, and he decides that he's just going to approach everything with like an open heart and a smile and a little bit of a bumbling nature, like a little Chaplin-esque, even before he knew about Chaplin. Just, I think that's kind of a little more humble. And so we feel, as strange as it sounds, because he's doing these superhuman things, I think when we watch him, because he just slides into these situations, like, oh. And I think it's kind of an audience surrogate feeling in these heightened situations. So, but yeah, I love it.
There is always this weird moment at the beginning of a Jackie Chan movie, particularly some of these sequels that we watched, where he kind of always does present himself as a bumbling everyman, even though
he has super skills.
He is like, okay, we need a super cop, better get that guy. And then he's like bumbling around.
like a
ding dong. And then kind of reveals these things. He always has to.
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with it. I think you're right that the persona is so set in stone in that great way that, like, a, you know, Cary Grant is always Cary Grant. And sometimes when they step out of that, even if they're good at it, it's confusing for a moment.
Which, and
we
know,
could talk about later with one of the movies that I had that reaction for the first 10 minutes of, but,
when he was trying different things past the 2000s and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the other thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, I do think that you have to give Quentin Tarantino credit for opening up America to a lot of these Asian films, which is great. And I was actually watching these movies today and wondering if, for all of the greatness of Tarantino's films, if his bringing Asian cinema over to America in that way, opening up that door, is not going to prove to be a longer, more important influence on film than his own actual films. The way that you could say that about like Nirvana, you know, opening the door for Sonic Youth and the Butthole Surfers and things like that, you know, that that as large as their individual influence is, like sometimes opening the door is such a huge thing.
Chungking Express brought us by Quentin Tarantino, so then we all discovered and fell in love with Wong Kar-wai. I mean, I think him bringing all these Hong Kong influences over, that might be his legacy.
Plus, like, I think he actually convinced Michelle Yeoh to get back in the business, like, in the 90s.
Yes.
Because she, I think she broke her back, right?
She did. She'd had a back injury.
Fuck this.
Yeah, she'd had a back injury when she was a girl. She was trained as a ballerina from age 4 on. She was Miss Malaysia. And so drama was her fallback thing. And then she wasn't really supposed to do that. Her doctor wanted her to take it easy after the big spine thing. But she just, you know, she wanted to get into it, and she got into it. I can't believe you know, some of the things she does. It's hard for me to watch the scene where she hits the windshield and Super Cop, because I know that's when she got hurt.
Oh,
And
yeah, that's even more fucked up to me than the jumping on the train. Like, that scene just seems so insane and visceral. Like,
I know.
you can kind of see Jackie freaking out a little bit.
Trying to grab her and stuff, and that was not planned. So
Yeah. But I do, but I, like, Michelle Yeoh actually explicitly credits Tarantino with talking her back into getting back in the game. So there's, like, so much Michelle Yeoh we wouldn't have had. I hate to hand it to Tarantino, but I'm handing it to
No,
Tarantino.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say he said that, the greatest stunts ever. And if he had to save
Or it's Super
one,
Cop, right?
yep. And if
Sorry.
he had to save, like, no, you're good, one sequence to show, like, humanity, it would be the final sequence of Super Cop, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah, that was Jackie, like, trying to one up Michelle Yeoh, because he was like, oh, she fucking jumped on a train. Like, now
I
what? So he's like,
know.
I'm just gonna hang from a helicopter. And which I feel like Mission Impossible Fallout must have been ripping that off knowingly. Like, I don't
Oh,
think
for
that's an
sure.
accident, right?
No.
They know
Okay.
about. Yeah, you have to assume that. Well, I don't know if
McHugh is, like, a huge Jackie fan, but I can see Tom Cruise being like, we're doing Jackie.
And Jordan, you were saying something, and
Oh, I
I.
was just going
Yeah,
to say
sorry.
that the other side, though, to Tarantino's influence in these matters is that so many of these movies were done by Miramax,
Yes.
and that's not always the best. The act of evil of Harvey Weinstein aside, we have now these movies that are very difficult to see in their unedited form. These movies are very
Yes.
difficult, which we
Such a
had
good
this
point.
discussion off the air, about the desperate attempt to find subtitled versions of these films, because they were locked into these, like, edited,
Harvey
dubbed versions.
Scissorhands cuts. Yep.
Harvey Scissorhands
Wretched.
cuts. Everything from these movies to, like, Hero, are like hard to find the original versions of. And the fact that we haven't gone back and rectified that in a major way, it's like, I mean, Criterion did it with Police Story 1 and 2, but not 3. I don't know what the reason for that
I
was.
know.
It's gotta be some weird rights issues, but I'm not sure what they are.
I know, like, when we talk about Drunken Master 2, like, I encourage anybody listening who hasn't seen it, really find Drunken Master 2 instead of Legend of Drunken Master. It's not even really what gets cut out, as opposed to just, like, the dubbing is,
Horrendous.
it's horrendous,
Offensive.
and like cuts out, like, part of the real joy of that movie, which we can talk again later. But, like, I think that I hope that these films can get dug out. There's renewed interest. There's a great new, so I don't know if you know about this yet. Do you know about the Hong Kong Film Club here in LA?
I did, yes, because I was talking to the guy who runs Tesseract Cinema, and he was saying that, like, they were just screening Eastern Condors, maybe in June or something. I haven't been to any of their screenings, but I'm excited, even though it's downtown.
Well, they're in Hollywood, and it's, I
Oh,
will
really?
say, it's a tough parking area of
Yeah,
Hollywood.
that's what I heard.
But I didn't go to Eastern Condors, but me and Travis Woods went to see The Young Master, the Jackie Chan
Okay,
movie, there. And, they had found a print of it that was, I don't know what they were showing, but it was dubbed. And I think that is in that kind of very early comedy period. I think it's right after the original Drunken Master. And it's very fun. But I'm really glad that there are people who are, like, pressing on these edges of cinema that we don't totally have in America, because I think we think a lot of times we have everything. And, like, this adventure of trying to find,
Drunken
subtitled
Master.
versions of these films prove that, like, you have to be handier with the internet than I am in my old age.
It
There's
was
a lot of,
funny.
sorry.
Oh no, I was gonna say somebody was saying that one of their favorite quests growing up was finding the original cut of one of these movies as a teenager online, and I was thinking, man, when I was a teenager with these movies, I was just glad if the entire thing was there on the videotape. Even if it didn't have subtitles the whole way through. But yeah, it'd be good to get the original versions of these, and I'm hoping maybe we can shepherd it. Maybe the Criterion Collection will start building on Police Story, because I think that did pretty well for them.
There's, I was gonna say there's like a network of action, I guess it's not action Twitter anymore, but like action boys who are, have all these, it's basically like the bootleg VHS version, that's happening, like the era now is, I get like, what was it? Oh, like School on Fire. I sent you that, Jordan, the Ringo Lam movie, and it's like a fan edit, and it's kind of good. It's like pretty decent. So there's stuff like that where people just have copies of these things that they've fiddled with themselves and they're getting passed around, and like it's, you know, a kind of pirating I can get behind because you can't find that shit anywhere
Someone
else.
sent me Moment of Romance a few years ago. I think I sent it to you, Jordan, like
Oh, I
immediately
don't know if you did.
after
I mean,
that.
that is, I mean, that's a whole other thing. That's one of my, become one of my very favorite
It's so
movies.
good.
I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But, you know, the other thing is, like Internet Movie Archive, the Internet Archive has a really nice collection. I got into this world, with my, Japanese Yakuza, obsession has now
Obsession.
taken me past what's available, on official discs here. And there's also places that sell Blu-rays and DVDs pretty cheaply of things. And just take the statement of, we interpret copyright law to say if something is not commercially available in the United States, you are not violating copyright to sell it there. And I've been holding off. I have like a internet cart with $300 worth of, like the last Kenji Fukasaku movies I haven't seen. And
Do
like,
it. Wow.
I'm going to, it's really,
Pull the
we're going to
trigger,
peer
Jordan.
pressure you.
We'll be enablers.
Yeah. You see Jackie's in the background there
He
of
wants it
perceptively
too.
smiling. That just probably confused the hell out of people listening to this, but Priscilla
Oh.
has a standee, a little of
Homunculus
Jackie.
size. It's a very confusing size. It's like not life size, but it's not small enough. It's just sort of a creepy.
That's the size that created the whole rumor in Three Men and a Baby that there was a ghost on set. I know you know that, that
No.
there's an old legend from pre-internet days that there's a ghost in Three Men and a Baby because you can see a figure standing
Oh
in a
my
window that
gosh.
is not there. And then if you actually pause it and look, it's like, I believe it's a Steve Gutenberg stand-in, like cardboard cutout, I mean. But it's not human size. And I think that's what made people like freak out. It's sort of like the person being hanged at the back of the Wizard of Oz,
Oh
one of
yeah,
those kind of stories, you know? Yeah, it was caused by that. So somebody's gonna see a screen grab of this and think that there was a ghost in Priscilla's room.
The benevolent ghost of Jackie Chan.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. Well, we should probably dive in. So, Priscilla, Dragons Forever, I had not seen this movie before, so this was a lot of fun to check out.
I was telling Jordan, like, I was like accusatory. I was like, I don't think you liked it. And then I wasn't sure if he would because, you know, Jen and I have studied the shelves and we know that Jordan doesn't really watch rom-coms or he doesn't own any. So, but I was like, I think Jen will like this.
Oh my God, it's bonkers and fun. Are you kidding?
Like I just felt like it was okay. So my decision-making process was, I think I really over I overthought it, I will confess. Like I just it just felt so like big, like which one? Because I decided pretty fast that I wanted it to be something that something with the three dragons, which is Sammo, Yunbiao, and Jackie. And they've made like six movies together, but so those three boys like grew up in that shitty hellhole school together. And when they were in school, they were known as like, there was a whole group known as the Seven Little Fortunes.
And then the three
And
dragons.
and then it also includes Yunhua and Corey Yun. So it's like this whole, it's like a super group, but they were kind of like the best kids in the school, which is how they became the Fortunes because they were the actual performers. So anyway, I just love their chemistry, and it was really difficult for me to decide. They made like three movies called the Lucky Stars movies, which are not terrific. So the real contenders were Project A, which has a lot of like really fun Harold Lloyd and Buster Keaton sort of set pieces. And then there was Meals on Wheels, which was like this probably the runner up to Dragons Forever.
Yeah,
I
that's
don't
a
know if you've,
famous one.
and it's like it's really fun, but the plot is a little weird because it's sort of like The whole plot is like, we're horny for a pickpocket and we'll do whatever it takes to protect her.
The classic.
Which is like, you know, that's a fine plot. I mean, a lot of plots in real life are motivated by horniness, but it's sort of like, I don't know. I watched that and then I watched Dragons Forever back to back, and I felt like Dragons Forever just felt more like a movie. And not just sort of like an excuse to do cool shit. And I feel
More
like,
cohesive.
So I was like, oh, this feels like a real movie. And I just felt like they're so charming. And I love this. It's my favorite Three Dragons dynamic. They're just so much fun in this movie. And I feel like Sammo is a little bit better when he makes his movies about kind of giving everybody a moment to shine. Whereas Jackie like loves the spotlight, which I'm not saying that in judgment, but like Project A, they're like Sammo and Yuen Biao don't really get that much shit to do. Like they're there, but it's not really like fun, like beating each other up like the Three Stooges energy that I'm into. But I also just thought like the insane rom-com storylines were really fun.
Because that is a thing with Hong Kong movies. I mean, like, my God, City on
Wild
Fire
rom-coms.
has some strange, like, is it City on Fire or what is the one? There's some stuff with Chow Yun-fat and his girlfriend in one of those movies that's just insane. So there's a lot of times, some of these movies are like totally hardcore, and then there's a scene where they're like singing and dancing. And in this, we have, lemon juggling and knives and dancing. We have Sammo doing a whole performance, which is fabulous. We have a montage where we hear lyrics from a ballad that is, "Love is a conveyor belt of warmth," which, I
I'm
mean,
always saying that.
exactly. I mean, bumper sticker city, go for it. But this was so much fun, Priscilla. I thought it was really clever, creative. I had not seen it at all. If you're listening, it's on YouTube, so you can
And it's
find it
not
there.
dubbed.
And it is,
Yeah. Thank God.
which was so good.
And free in a way of like not pirated. It feels like it is just a gift to the world. Like they just said,
Yeah.
oh, if you want to watch this movie, go nuts.
Yeah. I was so excited it was free.
Yes. Free, I'll take two.
It is true that ran into Priscilla last night at the Egyptian, and she basically produced evidence because I had not logged a star rating for
Ooh,
this
okay.
movie yet, that I did not like it. I will say I had like this was just reaching into like a complete blind spot of me. I will admit that like Sammo Hung is somebody I know very little about, while I know that I should. Like it's just a gap. And he turned out to be my favorite part of the movie.
Yes, I
He's
agree
so
with you.
delightful.
I love
And
Sammo.
I hear you guys about my you guys looked at my DVD collection, not a lot of rom-coms on the shelf.
Sorry to narc,
That's
but
all right. You know,
you
I know who I
know,
am. I
we were gonna stage this like elaborate prank, and I don't know why we didn't, but we were gonna go to like Target or something and buy some of the Hallmark movies
The worst titles I could find,
and
or
then
we could
just slide
find.
them randomly through the collection, see if he noticed.
Megan would have been overjoyed with that 'cause she loves those movies.
They're
But
fun.
I do like romance, and I thought that was the best part of the movie was with the Sammo Hung romance.
Okay, good.
Was the part that I loved.
Yeah.
I did, and I think I said this to Priscilla last night, like the beginning of this movie really confused me because it was the first time that you meet Jackie Chan and he's not like saving the cat in some way. He is
Yeah.
encouraging a woman to take hush money from a rapist.
It was bizarre.
It, and then they go to court and he wins for the rapist,
And you're like, what the
it feels like the beginning of The Devil's Advocate,
fuck?
like in a very real way. And then that just turns out to kind of just be a, I don't think they maybe thought it was as evil as I mean, he definitely has a change of heart throughout the movie, but it still didn't feel like, you know, it didn't feel like the beginning of Devil's Advocate, really, or the end of it. And so no, again, like all of this was new to me, and I was really glad to get exposed to it as somebody who, you know, kind of came to Jackie Chan through the normal route and hasn't dug into, you know, I do like a lot of Asian crime and things like that area, but this was just a completely untapped thing. And I know that Criterion has a huge Sammo Hung collection right now. So I am
I was
well
gonna make some
primed.
recs.
Good, please do.
Ooh, yeah,
Please
go
do.
for it.
I think, well, Eastern Condors is like, I think the one that both of you guys will really like. It's really dark, but
I saw that, but it's been a long time.
it's like a men and women on a mission movie, and it's kind of a fuck you to like Rambo 2 and like Missing in Action. And like they're sent on this suicide mission. I think it's like Chinese American slash immigrants who are in prison, and so they're told, we'll give you this money and we'll give you a pardon if you go do this stupid fucking chore for us. Which, and they like dump them in Vietnam so that they can retrieve weapons that that America left there. And the mission gets canceled like right before they jump, and they just decide to go through with it. So it's like, yeah. So,
I
anyway,
saw
it's a
it forever
weird.
ago, but yeah, I remember that one was really good. Yeah.
That one's good, and then Pedicab Driver is really good too.
I
Those
don't
are
know
like the
that
two
one.
masterpieces. That's like probably the best example of what Sammo Hung can do physically.
Okay, Pedicab Driver.
Because
Pedicab Driver.
yeah.
Yeah.
And the first half is like, it gets, I will warn you, it gets really dark. Like it's tonally very, I don't think like tonal consistency is a major concern for Sammo or a lot of Hong Kong movies.
No,
Yeah.
not at
So
all.
it starts out like really light and kind of slapstick, and then it gets like increasingly dark. Like you're the frog getting boiled and you're suddenly like, why am I crying? But yeah, I think Sammo is really good at making action movies that feel like real movies that have like a beginning, middle, and end, and almost like, I know it's not quite the same, but with Dragons Forever, I feel like the characters kind of have an arc, like almost a redemption, even though it's not really like, it's not really, we probably would want Jackie not to offer that rape hush money.
No, exactly.
In the first place, but it is very satisfying to see him punch the defendant or his client or whatever. But yeah, so
Which is like
Sammo.
justice for all of a sudden. Like, so yeah, a couple of these Pacino movies. Yes, exactly. In Devil's Advocate and Justice for All. It's bizarre, but it's fun. It's a little, again, I mean, I know when I'm fighting with guys, I routinely grab a wrench and hit them in the head or
Oh my
something.
God.
What the fuck?
Girl, what are you doing?
I know. It was like crazy. Yeah. So these movies go to like, they go to 100, like 0 to 100 really fast.
There's a lot of confusing shit that happens, which is like, I think I just felt so, I wasn't really confident in my choice. So I think that's why I was like concerned when I saw the no star rating. But I'm sorry that my insecurity, I lashed out.
That's all right. No, I get it. And again, like this is, I feel like even, what year was this? What year was this movie?
Was
Oh
it
shit.
like 88 or something?
Yeah, I want to say 88 because I think Eastern Condors was like 86 because I know that was like the Yuen Wah debut as like the weird villain. I think
1988.
then
Yep.
Dragons Forever was like the follow-up, I think.
Because I kind of feel like this is like the era of Jackie Chan. I just don't know that much about. Like I've seen several of the early Kung Fu films and then sort of
Nineties.
like 90s, like the mature period. I don't know what you would call it, but like kind of like the full flower kind of firing on all barrels, big budget, or at least relatively big budget, where this didn't have like a particularly large budget. And,
No, I don't think so. But it also, oh, I also wanted to mention it has, so Wheels on Meals also has a fight with Benny the Jet Urquidez, and I think it's better, but I think this one is really good too.
It is
Like the
really
final
good.
fight, like all the
Yes.
factory stuff
Oh
is
my
so
gosh,
good.
the final fight is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, Benny the Jet Urquidez is like, I don't know, I've heard some interviews with him, and he's a little weird, but he's like an action genius. I think he has like 9 different black belts
Oh
in
gosh.
different martial arts systems, so he could really kick your ass, and I think they're really hitting each other. Like I know on the Wheels on Meals fight. Have you guys seen this? I don't know if maybe.
I did.
Okay.
That was one of the ones I remember on video.
Yeah. It's so good. Like the part, there's a part where, well, maybe I shouldn't say
I
anything.
remember Project A, Wheels on, like this is, for whatever reason, we got some of the 80s ones, but not this. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is, I mean, that was another thing that factored into my choices that I think, like,
This one
it's
is
slightly
obscure.
less talked about.
Yeah.
But I think it's just as good. I don't know, it's the one that feels like most watchable or rewatchable.
It shows his spirit and kind of like, yeah, and I think it's good too because it does get you into Sammo Hung and shows you some of his contemporaries a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, I feel like he kind of gives everyone a moment to shine. Like, I almost feel like sometimes I feel like Yoon Byo is my favorite part sometimes. Like, he's just so
Yes.
deranged. He has like no short-term memory, and some of my favorite bits are like when him and Jackie are fighting in his weird Kodak lair. And he's talking about how, like, what is it? Birds are the representatives of capitalism and
Yes.
fish are the
Yeah, that's
representatives of, I'm like,
right.
what is he talking about? I'm trying to really think about it. Like, is that true? Like,
I genuinely thought, just given the time proximity, it was like, this guy is a character from One Battle After Another. Like, you could totally see him popping up in that world, with the fish
Yeah.
in
Comrade Josh.
the tubes,
He's
where you just felt
Comrade,
bad for them.
yes, exactly.
They don't
And
know
then,
they're fish, but it just
like,
felt bad.
Jackie, like, looking for the light switch, and then it's like the biggest fucking light
The
switch.
biggest switch was hilarious. Oh my God.
I don't know. It's just so silly, from start to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a pleasure to watch, even though Jackie's a villain. And it's
Yeah,
kind
I
of hard.
mean,
I didn't remember that part when I was revisiting it, and I was like, oh shit, like, are they gonna be okay with this? Like, are we gonna be able
Yes.
to survive this?
Yes. Yeah, no, it's fun.
But then they kind of, I feel like they all kind of like regain their conscience a little bit at the end,
All
but even
right.
though it's sort of like, oh, they're making drugs, so now they're bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like dumping in the environment, but the drugs, yes.
Yeah. Now we gotta get him.
Yes,
It's a lot of
absolutely.
drugs. I
It
mean,
was,
every
yeah.
time you see Benny the Jet or Kiedis, he's like eating cocaine. He's so scary. I don't know. He's a really little guy, but he looks formidable and he sounds like the hits sound so crunchy. I don't know. It's good.
Yeah.
I also wanted to point out, so we can tie this back to Van Damme. I don't know if you guys noticed that the judge is Van Damme's sensei in
Yes.
Bloodsport.
Oh, wow.
I said
Okay.
yes, like I knew that. All I knew was I knew that guy from something.
Yeah, and he, I recognized him first
No
from A Touch
idea.
of Zen. And then I was like, is he a
Okay.
monk in A Touch of Zen? And then I looked him up and I was like, oh my God, sensei. Like, I think his name is Tanaka in Bloodsport, but
Yes.
very
Oh, wow.
exciting.
Okay. I'm gonna have to look at that scene again now. Yeah.
I like him too, because he's like, oh, that's another bit I love is Jackie trying to get the girl to say that she loves him on the stand.
Yes.
Like, I think that's cute, and that the
Yeah.
judge is like, well, the judge isn't as cute because he says something a little homophobic. Like, if you were out questioning a man, I wouldn't allow it, but I love that he's like rooting for him. Like, sorry, ma'am, you have to answer. Like, you're under oath.
Very cute. Yeah. Absolutely. No, this was a good pick. And of course, Drunken Master. I have to say that I'd been sent years ago the editions on Blu-ray. I have the Dragon Dynasty Super Cop, so I do have the one without the dubbing. But with Legend of Drunken Master, that's the only edition I have. I'm sure that I saw the other one at some point, maybe in the 90s, but so this is the one I unfortunately had. But I think
No.
this movie is a blast. Yeah.
It is like by a pretty large margin my favorite Jackie Chan movie. I adore this movie. I always have. I actually very much like the original Drunken Master, which was made some 20 years or so before this
Yeah.
one. It's a really kind of a Evil Dead situation where Drunken Master, Drunken yeah. Master 2, is it a sequel? Is it a remake? It's kind of hard to tell in some points, I think. Yeah. But I've always loved this movie, but then last year I was in Portland working a terrible job, and shout out to Cinemagic. Cinemagic is a great movie theater in Portland that has just some of the best programming of any movie theater I've ever seen. And I lived around the corner from it very intentionally when I rented a place in Portland for this job. I lived half a block from Cinemagic. Nice. And I got a group of people together when they announced they were doing Drunken Master 2 in the theater. And it was really one of the most fun experiences I've ever had in a movie theater in my life.
Oh my God, I love that.
This movie is so full of joy. You know, it is like, you know, Jackie Chan hadn't made a pure kung fu movie in like, again, almost 20 years. And he had done like Super Cop and Police Story movies, and he was kind of at an all-time high, and he made a decision to go back and revisit this. And there's something I love so much about drunken kung fu as a style. Like the way he moves is so much fun to watch.
Yeah, you don't know how he's staying upright a lot of the times. I mean, he did have that.
When he's drinking the booze.
Yeah,
and he's like leaning over on the bad guy, and the bad guy rolls away, and he's still there.
There has to be a magic trick involved in that.
There
Nobody
has to be wires or something.
The posture he has. But that part is so much fun for me. And, you know, there's some great stunts, like the end rolling across a bed of coals is up there.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Bonkers.
With, like, the, you know, the Police Story mall jump or you know, the Super Cop helicopter stuff is just like, oh, my God, I can't believe.
Yeah.
He did that.
Why are you doing this? Yes.
And a lot of just the fire stuff at the end. Oh, factory
keeps catching
fight.
On fire. Yeah.
Just keeps catching on fire. And all that stuff is fantastic. But the thing that I think, and the reason I really did say so much about finding the subtitled version is I think it's the funniest of Jackie Chan's
it's
movies.
It's hilarious. Yeah. Yes.
And, particularly because of Anina Mui. Who
I love her so much. Yes.
She is so funny. She takes it like what could be a stock character, which is like the evil stepmother.
Yeah.
And what I love about her performance is she is evil. She's just evil for Jackie Chan.
Yes, exactly. Like, you know, they're on the same team. Yes.
Yeah. And her performance is so funny. And, you know, she does the bit where she pretends to be pregnant, which is like, again, an evil thing that she does.
Yes.
To get Jackie's dad off his back, she fakes a pregnancy, and then at one point fakes attempting a miscarriage by flopping back and forth like a fish, like she's going to belly slam and abort the child.
Yes.
It is so funny. And to me, so the best part of the movie is actually about 35, 36 minutes in, which is the first display of drunken mastery kung fu that he does, where he's getting drunk and she is there with all of her girlfriends, both kind of like showing
just
off.
Just like a
for
cheerleader.
Them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that is my booze. Favorite sequence. Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh.
I think that's the best part of the movie. It does come fairly early, but, you know, it's just some of the kung fu, because again, it's the same stuff he was doing in Drunken Master, but he's got 20 years of experience. He could still move so well. That the spear fighting under the train at the beginning is
My gosh, that is some of the
Lao
coolest Karlung.
Stuff. yeah
just
wow,
gorgeous. And so much. And again, so I had one of those theatrical experiences you dream about, watching this in a crowded movie theater with people who are just like
hooting and hollering.
Hooting and hollering. And again, I got to see the original Drunken Master here at Vidiot's a couple of months ago, and it was very fun. That is, I do really recommend the original Drunken Master. It is, it set the standard for, like, you know, every, like, I can't remember, what was it, Tekken, where they had the Drunken Master you could play in the fighting game. And he is very, very clearly based on Jackie's master from the original Drunken Master.
Wow.
And I really enjoy watching it. And of course, you know, the politics are fun. It's about, you know, Chinese nationalism, but in the face of colonialism, and I think I can live with that. And also, Andy Lau is in it for like
looking radiant.
Yes. I love Andy. Oh my God, that can be a separate podcast.
Yeah,
I genuinely
how beautiful Andy Lau is.
I was watching some Category 3 movie. I can't even remember the title of the other day, and this dad is leans over to his daughter as he's waking her up for the morning, and he goes, "Are you still dreaming about Andy Lau?" And she says, "Yes, I'm going to marry him." And oh, I just like, I was so like, sweet. "Yeah, I totally, yes,
yeah,
I get that." But he's like, he's just there and gone. He's another, yeah, massive pop star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Anita Mui, just like this. When you look up their Wikipedia page, it's like 9/10 about Cantopop. And then, oh yeah, they were in some movies too.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know.
I know.
So yeah, I just, you know, I've been, I just think this movie is just a riot of joy. And I'm just so glad to get people to watch it.
Yeah. I think this era, the early 90s, it's just, he was operating on all cylinders. Like you were saying, he had 20 years under his belt. He was still moving great. But I think also he had a better mastery as an actor by that point, because mm-hmm. he'd kind of done it. He knew how to work the camera in the right way. I think the tone was getting a little better in some of the, I don't know if maybe because they were spreading all over Europe, I guess, by this point, or they said the early to mid 90s, he was like the biggest star in not only Asia, but also Europe. And so maybe getting feedback from other parts of the world, like, I don't know if you should be encouraging a woman to lie about rape, or, you know, like maybe they were figuring out a better way to do some of the tones on some of these. But yeah, I don't know. I think this one is so much fun. I feel bad that that's the only one I have access to. How did you find it elsewhere online at all?
The YouTube version was inoffensive. Like it was, okay. It had subtitles and you could tell okay. It was like their real voices. So that ooh, was the nice. Version I went with. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, I just like specifically her performance is so based on necessary like vocal intonations and things like that, that I really, it's odd. You would think that dub would sell comedy better than subtitles, but it's not true. And so again, like it's hard. I'd never bought a movie from YouTube. Before, but
I don't think I had either,
but it worked. And, so again, and you know, it's still, you know, with dubs, it's still a fun movie. It's, I'm sure the first
Bryan
time I saw
Cranston
it.
Bryan Cranston is one of the voices. I saw the name Bryan Cranston in the credits. I was like, what?
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Yeah.
But you know, again, you watch this era and cause I think directly after this, was like Rumble in the Bronx was mm-hmm. like the movie he made after this.
I think
wasn't that 94, 95?
Yeah. Oh no, I know it is because Anita Mui is also the star of that. She's really wasted Rumble in the Bronx. Like she just has to kind of, the way that frankly Maggie Cheung is wasted in the Police story.
Oh my gosh. Yes. She's so beautiful. It's just like we need her in there.
She's so cute. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Queen of my heart. I just
But
I do. I love Drunken. I love a lot of his movies, but that is the one that I just, it hit
for
me.
I was telling Jordan last night, like if he hadn't picked this one, this would have been my pick, like without question, because it's just, I also love the drunken style, and it's like, I think it's my favorite movie to watch Jackie move in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really shows his versatility too, because it shows the comedic and the sweeping fluid motions. Yeah.
But they're like, you know, he's drunk, but there's such precision to the movements, but it never looks like forced. It just looks so natural. It's just like, God, it just, my brain cannot fathom moving that easily in space.
It's like dance life, basically.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like, and I'm just kind of in awe of it. But yeah, Anita Mui too, I wanted to mention that the character he plays, Wong Fei-hung, was like a real guy. I don't know if you guys know this. Yeah, no. So he was like a Chinese folk hero. And he's frequently depicted in movies kind of like a superhero.
Okay.
Like the Once Upon a Time in China movies, that's the Jet Li character. He's playing
is
him.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. So the people who made this movie were like, but what if he was like a naughty little boy before that, before he became this like acupuncturist, healer, martial artist, like savior of the downtrodden? and I think it like captures his master from Peking Opera School said something fucked up where he said like, Jackie wasn't my most talented student, but he was my naughtiest. So I think it like really captures that in a beautiful way, that, which I would argue like that guy was fucking wrong. Yeah. And a piece of shit. But yeah, like I think it really captures something innate about Jackie, which is that he does have this like naughty little boy persona, and then it's matched. Like Anita Moy is never like a straight man or even like a lady Jackie. Like she has her own perfect comedic, like complimentary energy. It's just like watching like two like naughty siblings or something, you know, instead of a mom and a kid.
Also, to point out, when you say mom and kid,
Age-wise, yeah.
yeah, she is a decade younger than Jackie
I
Chan.
was going
Yeah,
to
that's
say
the other
that.
thing. I was
Yeah.
like, eh, this
I
is
mean, they do
weird.
establish she is a stepmom, so they do at least give that amount of cover to it, but she still plays the role like she's older than him.
Yes.
And I think to me what is so pleasurable, and again, a lot of these are figures that are kind of being recapitulated from the original Drunken Master, which had like, I don't believe she's a stepmother and that I can't quite remember, but there's like an overbearing female figure who turns out to be like likable and a capable kung fu artist in the original one. But the fact that she plays it in a way that could very easily be a villain role, that she is like a scheming, kind of greedy, stepmother who is just deceiving her husband, not sexually, but like in every other way, right and left. She collaborates with Jackie Chan to poison a guy, basically. Like, I would rather poison that guy than admit what had gone wrong. And then fakes a pregnancy to get out of it. It is such a fun, crazy role. And then two of them together, it really does feel like this, incredible comedic pairing that again, really makes Rumble in the Bronx, where she is reduced to just a pure kind of like helpless maiden love interest. To be fair, I did not finish the rewatch, so if somebody writes in and says, oh no, in the end she's a kung fu master, I retract that, but I don't believe so.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, it really is. It's so much fun, and she is great. And then she died not long after. And so, and as you said earlier, she's in the heroic trio also with two other amazing women that we'll talk about here in a second. But
Maggie and Michelle.
yeah.
You know, like talking about all of these figures is making me think, boy, you could do an episode on Jet Li, Annie Lau, Donnie Yen, Michelle Yeoh
Sammo.
could have Sammo. Like, this could be a series, you
I
guys.
mean, Tony Leung, right?
Oh, my
Yeah, I wouldn't be
fave.
mad about it.
No, but Super Cop is definitely my fave. I would go with Tarantino on this. I think, you know, when you're talking about the 90s, the best action movies are probably like T2 and Speed. But then if you're talking about stunts, there's no topping this. It is, you know, one of the greatest, I think, stunts movies ever made. Their chemistry is really fun. You can tell they genuinely like each other. I guess she said that he was the first person that she ever worked with in Hong Kong when she came over. He introduced her to her husband, now his ex-husband, but he kind of took care of her. He famously had said that women had no place or should not do action, and then kind of changed it later to except for Michelle, because you know, she was working with his Jackie Chan stunt team day in, day out, and working with the director who was you know, a stuntman and had this great background for it. This is the one that isn't directed by Jackie, like the other Police Story, the first couple movies. You know, Maggie is wasted, Maggie Cheung. Absolutely. She is, you know, gorgeous. And you can tell, like, Jackie looks totally smitten in the outtakes at the end. Like, he just looks like, oh, you know. And yeah, it's just, I think this movie is a blast. You have the, you know, the old fashioned, we're gonna bust this guy out and get on his side. There's hilarity ensues when, where did you grow up? And he doesn't know right or left, or like all these buildings, and they're like really old buildings. They're new. And then, you know, his family, and it's just great. I love this one.
I mean, it's an incredible movie. It is so much fun. And she is, I mean, beyond amazing. And some of the stuff they do, even, I mean, obviously the ending is insane, but there's like so many little things like he jumps through a window and then the wooden slat slams shut and she just bounces off of it. Or
I know.
she falls on top of him while he's shooting. She's shooting him a Mac-10 and he holds
and
her up.
Where he puts his hands she looks down, which is very funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And just like a million little things like that that are really fun. I also suspect that because what I got out of watching it this time, I hadn't seen it in a few years, is really understanding how much it's about China's reunification.
I agree. Yeah.
Like the Hong Kong handover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, like my ear cannot recognize, oh, that person's speaking Cantonese, that person's speaking Mandarin.
Yep.
It was clearly a thing that was happening in the movie. And I believe it then probably Malaysian is also being spoken in parts. And again, that's my ignorance. I'm not saying that's okay,
no
but like,
but
you can feel that there is something going on under the surface that I'm not quite picking up, but it is by the end, it's pretty heavy that you can see when they're talking about, well, the money will soon belong to all of us. Wherever bank we put it in, they go, oh, that's what this movie is actually about is like coming home to China. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. When you look at it that way, for sure. Yeah.
And I feel like this movie, if this movie hadn't been made, like Michelle Yeoh wouldn't have been made and she wouldn't have been,
I agree.
She's basically playing the same character in Tomorrow Never Dies.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
that's
I actually
100%. And I love Tomorrow Never Dies, just like you. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys know the story. I think I posted it when I was writing about Tomorrow Never Dies, but apparently like we have David Byrne to thank for because he took like one of the producers or the execs working on the Pierce Brosnan Bond films. He took him to the New Art to see Police Story 3.
Oh, wow.
Like a huge Jackie Chan fan.
Oh, that's amazing.
At that point, they were thinking, I can't remember what nationality they wanted the Bond girl to be, but like it like flipped a switch where the guy was like, oh, we could have like a, she could be like a Chinese spy, you know, and that's how Wylin is basically the same character, essentially.
Oh, so
and
cool.
Like, I feel like there's almost the same dynamic between her and Bond, and like, this is when the Police Story movies start to become more like James Bond movies, I think. Like,
yeah, even one of the blurbs that's on the cover of the Dragon Dynasty edition I have is from the New York Times, and it says something like, it's like watching two 007s, something like that.
Wow, I didn't know that, but that's perfect.
I mean,
you're right.
When you say it that way, when you think about like the original Police Story and he's like, you know, there's like the amazing favela car chase and things like that. It is a it is a little bit of that thing that happens in the Fast and the Furious movies where it starts out they're stealing VCRs and then by the fifth movie they're like robbing giant banks in Brazil.
They're like in space.
That we are sending that character into like international geopolitical situations is an escalation to be sure.
Yeah, I think in First Strike, which is like the fourth Police Story movie, technically.
Yes,
right?
It's the sequel.
They even make like there's a moment in the movie where I don't know if he says something about being like James Bond or if another character says it, but that was a contender too. But I think it's just because I like the set pieces. There's like a ladder fight in First Strike that's sick.
Yes.
But yeah, this is obviously a much better movie. But
the First Strike is fun. Come on,
yeah, it has its moments. Mm-hmm. He swims with a shark. It's cool.
He swims with a shark. It's cool. I like the way you said that.
I think this is like the perfect place to stop the series before it starts to move on to like weirder areas,
and the gritty places, and it kind of goes in all directions.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like, didn't he do a Police Story movie? Like,
that was like really, dark.
Mm-hmm. Relatively recent. And it's like dark Jackie. It's like, do
you
want this?
I did read because the version that I watched had the woman who overdoses on drugs and then they're going to go stuff her body full of cocaine. And I understand is cut out of a lot of cuts of this movie.
Okay, that was not in the one I watched.
Which is this in Police Story 3? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not see that.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, there you go. when they arrive at like the big villain's mansion for the first time, as they're like walking up the steps, you see a girl, like a guy's like, we got new drugs for you. And he's
I did see that part.
Yeah, and then
They
they
like
shoot her
throw
up.
her out into the pool, don't they? Or something? What?
Well,
I can't
you see
remember.
her carrying her body out, but they say, or at least the boss makes a joke like, "Oh yeah, we
Okay.
can stuff bodies with cocaine." They don't show it. I'm not.
Okay, I was like, whoa, I like missed
I
something
was
really
like, boy,
gruesome.
that movie changed. Yeah.
Yeah, no,
But I
I do
guess
remember
even
that.
reference to it is
Yeah,
cut
yeah.
out in
Oh,
some
okay.
cuts.
Oh, I don't remember if that was in
So,
there, but.
because they also do it at the very beginning. I mean, it is a very like propaganda film, War on
Yeah.
Drugs, in the first few minutes where it's just like,
Yes.
and they're stuffing baby corpses with cocaine.
You're
And
like, oh
yes. Like a real horror story is being
Yeah.
told there. But like, that's a movie at this era. Like,
Exactly. Yep.
Eh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
I
know.
mean, that's how you make them really villainous, because it's like the drugs in and of themselves is like whatever.
Yeah.
But if
I
you're
mean,
putting drugs
that's.
in babies' bodies, like, all right, fuck them, you
They gotta
know?
draw the
That
line
is some
somewhere.
sick shit. And that's
Yeah.
how we know they're like finally the big bad in Dragons Forever, too. Gotta
Yeah.
involve the drugs.
Gotta involve the
Yeah.
drugs.
It's too much
Now,
cocaine here. We gotta shut them down.
this was something that Priscilla and I talked about when we ran into each other last night. But so exactly what Michelle Yeoh did, and I'm not taking anything away from her. She is like an amazing
Oh,
star.
yeah.
What she did to jump onto the train is not clear to me because
Oh,
they really
no.
try and make it
Yep.
look like it's her jumping onto the train. But my understanding is that that is not her.
Yeah, some of it's her. So this was another moral dilemma that I had, which was like, do I disillusion people? But I don't think it takes, I like Jordan said, Jordan brought it up and I was like, thank you, because I didn't know if I should talk about it, but like the wide shots where you see like the little tiny motorcycle flying onto the train, that's a guy named Bruce Law.
Okay.
And he's wearing like a Michelle Yeoh wig and her clothes.
Yeah.
But when you can see her like in the side view of the train, that's like really her
Yeah.
jumping onto the train. But I believe they use like wires or something, because I think she'd only been driving, or they'd only taught her how to ride a motorcycle. It'd only been a couple of weeks. So I
Yes,
think they
she
were
was
like,
new.
yeah, they had like a vested interest in not killing Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah. Well, and that's
But
acceptable.
yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, much like I will say
That would have been a bummer. Yeah. Yeah.
the
But.
blooper reel puts forward the idea that Jackie Chan just grabbed that ladder and they took
Oh.
off,
Yeah, no.
and there were straps on him. You can
Oh,
see there are
yeah.
straps in
Yeah.
later shots, but they really try and make it look like he just grabbed it and held on, which would be like, that's not good stunt work. Like that would be bad
No.
stunt work.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually said the scariest part was jumping onto the ladder. That
I
was like
bet.
the real risk. But I don't think he normally likes wires, but in that case, he was like, we're gonna use the wires, which
Yeah,
is
yeah,
smart.
yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But I mean, he's got stuff, you know, there's a big print the legend thing in action movies where it's like, he did it all. And it's like, even Jackie has stunt doubles. Like,
Oh, of
Yuen
course.
Biao actually doubles him in a couple movies at least. But you know, there are certain things, limitations, and it's not a big deal, because I think Michelle Yeoh doing that stunt, even with a little help, is still pretty astonishing. And
Oh my
like,
gosh.
so much
Or
of what she does in this movie is crazy.
hanging on the van, jumping on the car. I mean, she's doing amazing stuff in this movie. It's terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, she's doing it all. I think she started training with Sammo and Jackie like in her 20s. So it's like they have all this, their whole lives they've been doing
Yeah.
this, and she's just starting from scratch, and she's like, you can't really tell the difference, you
No.
know?
No, not at all.
You would never
Yeah.
know that.
Yeah.
The kicking somebody standing behind you is just one of my very favorite things to see in a movie.
I know. 'Cause it's like, where did that come from? Yes, I
Yeah.
love it.
I think that is a Buster Keaton bit. I can't
Oh,
remember
really?
what the movie is. I think it's Backstage, which he did with Fatty Arbuckle. I can't even remember who does it, but it's like a similar, like somebody standing like this and like kicking up like that and kicking somebody in the head.
Ah,
It's
that's amazing.
a good bit.
It's a good bet.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, this was a blast. Other ones that you want to make sure people check out? I mean, there's so many good ones, and you know, he gets into stuff. I liked him in Foreigner. It's a different Jackie Chan. That's a dramatic acting Jackie Chan that came out a few years ago. I was reviewing some of his more like sci-fi comedy things that were not good. Oh my gosh. I remember, then he was also like in, he talked about Three Men and a Baby, kind of that kind of thing, where he's like the spy next door, the accidental spy. There were all those. I remember thinking the Tuxedo, the one with Jennifer Love Hewitt, was, ridiculous but kind of fun. But a lot of these just, yeah.
Some of his newer movies are like, I don't know what's going on anymore. But
Yes.
I'm trying to think. I could never remember any movie I've seen. A Mr. Nice Guy is really fun.
Yes, that is a good one.
Gorgeous. And I think it's Mr. Nice Guy and Gorgeous both have fights with Jackie Chan and Brad Allen, who's
Okay.
like also a little man who moves beautifully, who passed away.
Oh.
I think he was only like 50 or something. But he's so great. That's worth watching. Why am I drawing a blank? I don't know. That was the difficulty I had, was like, I tried not to pick my movie based on the set pieces, but it was really hard because I'm like, we
Yeah.
should all watch the ladder fight in First Strike.
Yes.
Armor of God and Operation Condor. Those are
Okay.
like Jackie is Indiana
Oh, yeah.
Jones.
I have a double feature disc of those. Yes.
Project 8 is good. Some of the dialogue really drags. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but
I
it's
haven't seen it.
like I don't care about when they're talking. I just want to see Jackie hang off a big clock. Like,
very Harold Lloyd kind of thing. Yeah.
It's absolutely, he admits, like, this is
Yeah.
a send up. And then I think there's like a, I feel like some of the bicycle stuff in the movie is like a Buster Keaton
Gotcha.
kind of thing. Wheels on Wheels, like, even if you don't want to watch the whole movie, you should watch the fight with Benny the Jet or Kudos, because it's like easily a top 10. I will spoil a part which Benny the Jet, like, he spins with his leg out so fast that it winks out the candles in this candelabra. It's just like they're like little, those little details, I think, is what really makes a Jackie fight like transcendent, basically. But yeah.
Yeah, I think the use of props, the inventiveness, for sure.
Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
know if there's, sorry, I just
No.
no, I think
Yeah.
I've basically mentioned everyone that
Yeah.
I have seen that, again, I think some of those early Kung Fu ones that start with the, actually now I can't even remember the name because I haven't seen it, but like the Young Master, the original Drunken Master. I really do recommend those if people have never gone back. I really do like the original Drunken Master. Young Master has an amazing duel between two groups of people wearing the kind of those traditional Chinese dragon puppets that like have like four or five people in them, and it's a race where they're going up like irregular bamboo poles that they have to balance on while they're doing the dragon stuff, and Jackie's the head guy. Again, like insane things happen. That is a lot of fun to watch, but I was just looking at Letterboxd and realized that of
Yeah.
his like top eight movies on Letterboxd, I haven't seen
Oh.
hardly any of them because they're all Panda Kung Fu,
Oh. Gotcha. Yeah.
or the new Karate Kid, which I can love Jackie Chan and still say I'm not watching those. Like,
Yeah.
that's just
Absolutely. You can
not
draw
something I'm
your
gonna be
line.
doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have to
But
give a shout out to These Fists Break Bricks, which is Grady Hendrix and Chris, I want to say, Poggioli's book. They had released it before. This is a revised and expanded edition. Chronicles how Kung Fu movies swept America and changed the world. The new edition came out this summer, and I haven't read the entire thing, but it's very cool. It also kind of shows the Kung Fu influence on hip hop culture and how everybody kind of absorbed it. So that's a cool book if you're interested in this. I don't know. I have not read Jackie's bio or memoir. I Am Jackie Chan. Did you?
I read, there's like two different ones and I can't tell the difference. Do I have it in here? I don't know where it is, but
Oh, you're fine.
I read it a long time ago. So like the Peking Opera stuff really stuck, but
Okay.
I know there's like a, it might not be a whole chapter, but it's like three pages where he talks about the different parts of his body that he's broken.
Oh, wow.
Like at one point he was like, I dislocated my cheekbone on this movie. And you're like, and he's like, I didn't know
Yes,
that
I
could
think that was
happen.
Super Cop,
Yeah,
actually.
that
That
might
was
have been
Super
it.
Cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know these weird things. Yes.
But yeah, so I do remember it being good, and it's like it's kind of shocking to read about the conditions, because his parents were very poor, so they
Yeah.
did consider selling him when he was born to the doctor, because they couldn't pay for the they weren't sure if they could pay for the C-section, and she offered,
Yeah.
and
Whoa.
like and then they basically did sell him to the Peking Opera School, and like that kind of stuff is very troubling, but
Yeah, he is one of those celebrities who said that half of his assets are going to charity when he passes, which is
yeah.
amazing.
That's nice. I guess instead of being able to recommend more movies, I would just like to it's easy for me to say this, but we all watch movies by ourselves a lot these days, and I would really encourage people to watch Jackie Chan movies with other people if they can, because they are so joyous and fun, and I don't know how much I laughed the first time I saw Drunken Master 2 by myself, but when I was in a movie theater full of people, it was just uproarious. So, I think, it's good if you're able to do that, and I would encourage it.
Yeah, well, this was so much fun talking about these movies with you guys. So I
Yeah,
want to thank you
indeed.
so much. Think of somebody else for us to tackle, and we will do this again. We'll think of someone that Jed is into as well and bring back the
Yeah.
gang.
And bring back the gang.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
It was a pleasure and a delight and an honor.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Same. It was a lot of fun.
For
Great
me
seeing y'all.
too. Thank you for having us.
Of
Yeah.
course.
I also want to thank everyone for listening, especially my patrons who support the show and help fund my research, equipment, film rentals, RSS fees, and more for as little as $1 per month at the Film Intuition Patreon, which is the home base for the show. Other ways you can support the podcast are by sharing, reviewing, and subscribing to Watch with Jen wherever you get your podcasts, and also checking out the cool merch store hosted and created by our talented logo designer, Kate Gabrielle. You can find the merchandise store, including shirts, tote bags, stickers, and more, by visiting filmintuition.com and clicking on the shop link. The show's theme music is Solo Acoustic Guitar by Jason Shaw and is available in the free music archive. Well, until next time, please take care and happy movie watching.
This is Jen Johans at filmintuition.com and Film Intuition on social media and Letterboxd. And this is Watch with Jen.